You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, to pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Edison here with Judy McGuire. We're back. It's the Mike and Judy Show. I gotta say, I never get tired of listening to that. Judy, what's going on? You've got a lot on your mind today.
But mostly, what I have on my mind is it was Mike Edison's birthday this week.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you to remind everybody that I'm getting fucking old.
Shh, no F-bombs on your birthday!
I can't help it. You know, no F-bombs. Yesterday, we tried to have a calm birthday party. I went out with a bunch of the kids. We went to see Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the new monkey movie, and then we're that great. And then we're gonna have pizza afterwards. But you know, one thing turns to the next.
It's your birthday song.
And pretty much by the time dinner was over, we were reliving Apocalypse 2011, except with more liquor and pills. So what's it like getting old for you, Judy?
I made Jack do that. Don't be mad at him. It's getting old for a woman is much harder than it is for a man. But there are more products available to sort of ward it off. I deep moisturized yesterday with a banana avocado mask.
The secret to my success as well.
but the best product I discovered this weekend is called Nature Calls. I believe we have a phone caller, Mike.
We have a caller, right?
I'll share our product with you later.
We haven't even started. No. Tell us about Nature Calls first, because I'm sure our caller will have something to say about this.
Okay, Nature Calls is this little, it looks like a little tube of Visine, and you put two or three drops in the toilet, and then it's poop activated. It's poop activated, so when you poop, all of a sudden, it doesn't smell like poop in your bathroom anymore. It smells like a pine cone.
If I wanted my poop to smell like pine cones, I'd shit in the woods. Like
you know what? When you live with a large man, it is like a product from God, because he is like king of the poopers, and now it's just pine cone central, which is...
poopers?
Judy, why don't you introduce our guest and get his thoughts on the on the pine
he
cone.
Will probably,
that's a Richard Brautigan novel, isn't it?
King of the poopers?
Spiro will proudly be called king of the poopers. He wants a title. Excellent. Anyway, our guest today is an old pal of mine, Reed Paley. He has a new record out called Paley and Francis that he recorded with Black Francis, who was... I guess he still is in the Pixies.
Yes.
It's out September 13th on Sonic Onion Records.
Woohoo!
And welcome, Reed.
Well, it's great to be here, Judy.
Should we check out?
Happy birthday, Mike.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, I'm ye old Mike of the Mike and Judy Show.
You're young at heart.
I'll tell you, young at heart. Too old enough to know better, too young to care. Hey, Jack, we really have a caller?
I guess he passed out.
He was there.
So what did you do yesterday? What was our caller about, Mike? Maybe we could just pretend.
Yeah, just pretend. Well, you know, the controversy here yesterday, I was ranting and raving.
Caller's back on.
Oh, okay, let's talk to him.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Are you as hungover as Mike?
I think so. I don't know if I could manage a radio show this morning. But,
It sounds an awful lot like my buddy Mickey Finn, keyboard player to the Stars, who was fading like a cheap suit at about 3 a.m. last night. What's going on, Mickey?
Yeah, Mike can still throw down, even though he's an old man. So, yeah, we had a good time last night.
We were talking yesterday about The Rise of the Apes. I was the only one who walked away not loving the movie.
Mickey, you loved the movie?
I thought it was good. We discussed it a lot afterwards. I think Mike's expectations are way too high for it, but apparently he sees a lot more of these things than I do. So,
listen, my expectations, I don't think this has to be a great movie. I just think it needs to be a good movie. You know, Hollywood doesn't need to be making, like, classics. They just some level of quality that's consistent that I can expect. Comedy should be funny, thriller should be thrilling, love story should be romantic, and eight movies should, you know, rise to the occasion of the great eight movies.
Are they supposed to be scary?
No, well, intended.
My problem with this movie was the first two-thirds of it were so cliche and so hackneyed, like every other fucking science fiction movie I've ever seen. It revolves around the serum that makes apes smart. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, you know?
Not spoiling it for me, pal.
It's called tequila.
But, you know, it's the same plot as, like, Spider-Man 2, of, like, we're ready to test it on humans. No, we're not. We're ready to test it on humans. And the guy goes off and he tests it on humans, and then, of course, it goes bad from there. I mean, James Franco should know better. I mean, isn't this what happened to William Dafoe in Spider-Man 2? He's already been in this movie. It's just insulting to me as a moviegoer. I just think he could take it a little further.
Mickey, how are the effects?
They were pretty good. As someone who doesn't see a lot of Hollywood blockbusters like Mike does, I hadn't been in a big movie theater in a long, long time, and I was kind of freaked out because we were sitting really close.
With the glasses?
They start showing, you know, and they show like 80 million previews now after they show you 14 commercials for corporate products and then tell you not to talk and turn your phone off, and then there's like a half an hour of previews.
First time I went to the movies in the big city.
Yeah, they're cut like, well, yeah, I just don't go see the big, you know, Hollywood stuff. But I wanted to see this because I'm a Planet of the Apes fan, and it sounded like really interesting. But the stuff is going at you so fast that sometimes you can't even process it all because it's, you know.
So you might watch it again.
I may have to. I probably missed a lot. Yeah.
Well,
and plus we were bust. You know, it was like four. Because
we smoked a joint the size of a banana before we went in. Probably,
you know,
in the sixth
row making a lot of, you know, snide comments about everything. Like we were 14-year-olds. You know.
Well, you know, it's all right to have high standards for ape movies.
I think so. I think, you know,
it's an important metaphor for our time.
I think
you
got to
be
the
gatekeeper.
You got any monkey songs for us today, Reed?
They're all monkey songs.
They're all monkey songs
at heart.
All right, I think we should get on with with our guest here. How rude are we being?
Yeah,
Mickey,
not rude at all.
Thanks.
What, you
want to
hang on? Mickey, hang on for a while.
All right.
We'll call you in when needed. You will be our Greek chorus.
All right. Happy birthday
of the day. Thanks, dude.
All right.
He does sound as hungover as you.
I know. Why was he calling in again?
To give a good review of the.
Just to stand up for apes.
It's a point counterpoint.
He liked the apes.
The apes.
Reed, what are your thoughts on, like, cute little kitten videos?
That's exactly what the internet is for.
I think so.
I'm a little tired of the cute animal meme myself. Look, I have two cats. They're adorable. My one cat is a vicious piano player. He's much better than any of these other piano-playing cats. I think the problem with Matt, he's got an avant-garde streak. You know,
yeah.
he's a chromaticist,
yeah.
Actually. And, you know, that's
a little Harry Parch kind of.
Exactly. Well, it's just tone rows, and, you know, like that, 12-tone rows.
So you're jealous of the other cats, the cats getting all the play.
No.
He just doesn't like the hacky cats, you know.
Seriously.
The Billy Joel piano cat.
The cat who jumps into a box. The Japanese have the best cute cat videos. Oh, there's a baby in the studio.
The show is just unraveling completely.
Wow.
So, Rita, you on tour with the dude from the Pixies?
Black Francis.
Well, we're going to be doing some shows in early September. We're playing the Super Crawl Festival in Hamilton, Ontario, which is free if you can get there. It's outside of Toronto. And we're doing a couple of gigs in upstate New York.
New York?
Buffalo, Albany.
Ooh. Albany's nice.
We're opening out of town. I don't think anybody said Albany. William Kennedy doesn't think
you heard
Albany's
it here
nice,
first
really?
On the Mike and Judy show. But by the way, this
Albany's
is a show
nice.
Taking a straw poll who's smoked angel dust and everybody's hand went up.
Excellent.
This is the show. So Albany is nice.
The baby smoked angel dust.
I haven't been to Albany for years. That's awful.
Oh, good Lord.
Come on.
On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Well, I grew up in Rochester, New York. So compared to Rochester, New York.
Condolences.
I thought you were a Jersey girl.
We moved around a lot.
I moved around a lot. Yeah. That's your story too, right? You're moving around a lot, Reed?
I'm moving around a lot right now as we speak.
I just claim Jersey because I went to high school there and I was born in Newark. So
you claim, but I think if you go to high school there, that's a good reason to claim something. I went to high school in New Jersey. I've lived in New York City longer than I haven't.
Yeah, me too. But you know what? Jersey gets a bad rap, deservedly so, but I have Jersey pride only because I feel like to pretend otherwise would be dishonest.
Well, you're an honest woman.
And I love Bruce Springsteen.
And you love Bruce Springsteen?
You know, they call him the boss, you know.
I know that. I don't really call him that because I'm an oldest child and nobody is the fucking boss of me.
New Jersey pride is sort of...
Ow! Mickey passed out on his phone.
I tell you, it was like Apocalypse 2011 last night.
He dropped it in the toilet.
Revisited. I think the whole Jersey pride, I'm a product of where I grew up. I grew up in Metuchen, New Jersey, which is only 30 minutes from here, really. I mean, it's closer than some places, in Queens. I was here all the time. But, mm-hmm. It's pretty central to who I am, is having gone to a large public high school in New Jersey. It was like one big, it was like 16 candles,
Yeah, I went to a large public high school, and we're having a reunion. I won't say which one because I am old.
Are you going?
The public high school.
Oh, good Lord. No way, right? How do these people even fucking find me?
Why?
Facebook.
Well, again, you can be found, as I said. I don't even want to use the metaphor.
And it's all the kids who are less popular than I am, which is pretty unpopular, who are organizing it.
You had to be. I'm guessing you were very unpopular.
That's hard.
I was like extremely unpopular to the point where football players would throw me into lockers and tell me I was ugly.
You're breaking my heart.
New Jersey sucked in the early 80s.
You were wearing a mohawk.
Well,
right?
Pretty much anybody who had a good time in high school.
Yeah.
Is an asshole.
Seriously.
Pretty much.
No, all these people, this is the best years of your life? Who the fuck are these people?
Those are the best
years
of your
life. I have no money and I'm not getting laid, and this is it. It's going to be downhill from here.
Yeah, there's no way it could get worse than it was in high school.
High school's wonderful. It's like a John Hughes movie, it's heartwarming.
Yeah,
I didn't start watching those John Hughes movies until I was out of high school for like 20 years. It was the first time I was too close to it. They depressed me. It was like watching the Holocaust movie or something. I'd watch, I was like watching Breakfast Club.
Bad.
I'd be like, never again, never again.
3 o'clock High, I think, is about the only high school movie that comes close to, in some kind of strange, surreal way, getting the vibe of high school.
Is there murder in that movie?
No, there isn't murder in it, but there's,
Was there a murder in your
brutality.
High school?
There was murder in my high school.
Really?
No, I didn't have any murder.
Yeah. Where'd you go to high school, Reed?
Yeah. Oh.
Or where didn't you go to high
school?
Fuck.
Oh, God. I don't even want to say.
I don't even want to say.
I don't want to say.
This is a man with a mysterious past.
I'm trying to be mysterious. It's my new thing. It's my new gleefully corrupt, don't trust me kind of a thing there. I have a problem. People ask me a question. My immediate urge is to tell the truth. I'm trying to kind of short-circuit that.
Well, that's what you should do.
Well, so they say.
Well, you shouldn't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
So they say.
That's for sure. So how did you connect on this tour and this record? Tell us a little bit more about it. And later, of course, you're going to play a song. We're going to hear one at the break.
Cool.
We're going to hear one from the new record at the break, and then Reed's going to close with one of his older songs.
Older songs.
Yet another ray of sunshine.
How did you meet?
I like the joy. I bring the sunshine.
How did you meet Black Francis?
We are the world. Oh, that was in the 80s. My old band.
The Five,
yeah. We're playing at Green Street Station, and a new band called the Pixies had been put on the bill, and this guy came over in a snorkel coat and said, "Hi, it's great to be on the bill with you. My name's Charles." So that's how we met.
He's a friendly guy.
He is a friendly guy. He's a great guy, and I've known him forever, and wrote a bunch of songs together, and we ended up doing this thing, kind of fell together last September.
I know how popular the Pixies are, and I have lots of friends who really adore them. I could never stand them.
You're a minion of Satan. That's one of the best. That was one of the best fucking bands in the world.
I was there.
My bandmates were huddled around me and going, "I was like, what the fuck is the matter with you? This is a
cage
really,
match.
You know, really
it's
good
one
band.
Of those things. I think the Pixies use
not only that,
chord changes, and I like Stones chord changes. And that's sort of where it's coming. They sort of took the blues out of the whole thing, and I kind of lost interest.
There's a lot of bluesiness in there, and not only that, but there's a reason that he and I write songs together.
Mike, You have to be nice to our guests.
You really do, because
and his friends.
I'm tearing up right now. My lower lip is quivering for the audience at home.
I know. I'm sure we have a lot
of
Pixie fans.
He's a sensitive flower. Everyone loves the Pixies.
I'm a fucking sensitive motherfucker.
Although, very sensitive.
Mike and I do both hate the Beatles.
Deeply influential. Well, you guys. Well,
now, right. Where do you stand on the Beatles? Because I know where I'd like to stand.
I don't mind the Beatles.
They're fucking larynx.
Some of the songs are good, and some of them are bad. Well, you know, I got a friend from Manchester who refers to Liverpool as the town that never got over the Beatles.
Well, yeah, true that. But I mean, I just think, with the Beatles, they did lots of good stuff, but their bad song to good song ratio is horrendous.
Yeah,
for a relatively short few amount of records that they made so many more bad songs than they ever did good songs.
For every tax band,
there was some obla-di obla-da. Yeah, I mean, for every year blues, there were like five Maxwell Silver Hammers. I mean, yesterday.
But the children really, like that one.
You know, Hey Jude.
And plus,
the most boring Jude, shit ever I in my saw life. You nude.
You
Don't
should
try
like
to
that.
Fake it. I saw you naked.
And we're back in high school in New Jersey again.
No,
ladies
that
and
was
gentlemen.
Younger than
really?
High school. Okay. That used to make me cry. My
really?
Tell you what, that's what the Beatles are good for. The Beatles are a good band for like infants and toddlers.
Well. This is kind of, it's rock is music for young people.
Which I am not.
Not anything I do, which is why I'm such a raging success.
And you kids, get off my lawn.
Exactly.
Hey, let's take
that
a break.
That old man took my football.
Let's hear a song from Regent's new record. Paley and Francis record. What are we going to
hear? Paley and Francis is the band. Paley and Francis is the name of the album. What are you playing? You're playing On the Corner?
Yes.
Second track. Yeah, this is a... I had a moment. I'm not really fanish, but at a certain point I looked up and I'm cutting the vocal. I go, wow, Spooner Oldham.
Spooner Oldham.
Spooner Oldham. You familiar? You've heard of Aretha Franklin? Spooner Oldham and David Hood. These are the piano player and bass player that you will hear on the song Mustang Sally. They played with everybody. They're part of the Muscle Shoals rhythm section.
And they're playing with you.
Legendary guys. Yeah, well, this was set up the producer John Tiven and Mr. Black Francis, and I'm brought along and did our songs.
All right, let's hear it, Jack.
I've been standing out here on the corner. I'm doing fine. Right here, standing out here on the corner. Just take your time. You take your time. Everything designed to make you holy. Everything designed to make you sigh. Let's take a swing. It's not a magical thing. Just another look in my eye. Just standing right out here on the corner. It's all mine. Watch me standing out here on the corner. Just take your time. You take your time. It might be something here to make you happy. There might be a refrain, but I can try. And just when everything is starting to sing, you get another look in your eye. I'll be living, standing out here on the corner. You take your time.
All right, we're back. Reed and Francis.
Paley and Francis, Paley and you wise Francis. Guy. Paley and Francis,
Mike,
is a band.
You are hung over Reed today. Why don't you just admit it to our audience and repent for your sin-in?
Repent? I couldn't even gag it's back Sunday. A beer in the shower this morning. My usual go-to. I was just facing that cold kind of Budweiser in the hot shower, and usually it goes down so easily. It sort of gets everything balanced out. You know how sometimes when there's too much blood in your alcohol?
That's a problem. I have that problem
I couldn't
sometimes.
Really do it, so I I was stuck with, you know, Irished up the coffee and put on my game face and marched out here to Bushwick, where at least I'm back on the Budweiser train
now.
You're
a brave man.
Yeah, you're usually a lot peppier here,
Mike. You're a man who knows a little bit about the hangover.
Yes.
And what are your hangover cures?
Oh, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Alka-Seltzer.
I love
Alka-Seltzer is one of the most brilliant things known to man. Gets the aspirin into the bloodstream very quickly if it's really awful. Mineral ice all over your face and your neck. Gargle with chloraseptic.
Doesn't it kind of make you gaggy?
Throw down a shot of tequila and get the hell back to sleep.
No, Alka-Seltzer is very old-fashioned, but hats off to doctors Alka and Seltzer.
Exactly.
Know what the fuck they're doing.
Geniuses back in the day.
It really works. You know, it's old-fashioned, but it really works. The only problem is that incessant fizzing.
Yeah, well, you got to put in the earplugs before you do that. Then, I know. Let it go. Leave the room, then return.
Well, you know how I believe in the beer in the shower. It's a very fundamental lifestyle component.
Yeah, well, I can see that. Yeah, it's very, you know, it's kind of spa-like.
It is. Well, it is. That's really how it starts. Sort of like, you know, the spa the punk rocker can afford. You know, an ice cold can of Budweiser, hot shower. And it's not just as a hangover cure, as you know.
It's way of life.
It's a lifestyle component. I mean, there are plenty of times when you could really enjoy a nice beer in the shower.
Just recreationally as opposed to therapeutically.
I'm posting great numbers this summer.
You converted me also, Mike.
How's that, Jack?
You converted me.
Oh, wow.
See?
Damn.
My editor at the Frisky does it now. It's catching on.
I'm telling you, it's micro-trending.
Yeah. Micro-trending. Oh, that's very modern.
But, you know, I mean, it's like, sure, in the morning you want to chase the hangover, but also, hey, you know, you come back from your rehearsal, and, you know, it's hot, it's sweaty, you want a shower, you want a cold beer. It's the peanut butter and the chocolate moment.
Naked, wet, and drunk. These are good things, apparently.
Yeah. Beer on dry land is also good.
Yeah.
I always drink bottled beer, so I'm always afraid to do that.
Well, safety first, I do recommend.
Put it in a plastic container. You know,
cans. That's like, it's a little complicated.
If you don't want to go can.
Hey, so did they sell beer on the new ferry? You were raving before we got on the air about the new Brooklyn Ferry service.
I love the East River Ferry. It's my favorite thing. But no, they don't seem to serve beer. They had like a coffee stand. There's also too many strollers on the weekends, but it's a great ride.
Just nudge them. They just go overboard, right?
No, because it's inside. At least the parents don't bring them up to the deck, because then it might be tempting. But no, there's a lot of people with strollers, and parents in Brooklyn don't really know stroller etiquette. They just think that pretty much they own the sidewalk, as I'm sure it's been complained about a lot. But
you know, the Staten Island Ferry sells beer.
Yeah,
that's actually
a superior ferry.
Because it goes to Staten Island.
You need beer.
And it is illegal to drink beer in Staten Island. You realize that. There is an ordinance still on the books. You must be drinking beer in Staten Island.
Well, it's the only part of the MTA, public trans, that sells beer. I mean, can you imagine if they sold beer on the C-Train?
Did you see the video this morning of the drunk guy with his bottle of Hennessy getting into like a fight with somebody on the A train, and everyone else was beating him up, and somebody else took out a box cutter, but the guy was like unstoppable. He was so drunk, he had that drunk power, you know, where you can just keep fighting.
I know that power.
It's great. It's a wonderful thing.
Power. I was actually too busy looking at pictures of kittens playing the tuba.
Kittens playing the tuba.
You got any seafaring tales for us, Reed? You got any sea shanties?
Sea shanties. I'm gonna weigh aboard a man of war. I wish I was a sailor. How's that? That's kind of a sea shanty.
You know, as long as we're having the curmudgeonly show today, there's something in the paper here that really sort of got under my skin a little bit. It's the New York Post. As everyone's been watching this whole debt crisis, which is, you know, just like they're like kids playing in a sandbox. It's so sad. There's no leadership in this country. And people think, you know, Obama's unpopular. How popular do you think, you know, the fucking Congress is? What, do they have like a 0% approval rating?
Yeah, I think it's
like
negative.
Planets, like Planet of the Apes. With no 3D action.
Anyway, so the Post today, they said the guy that downgraded the United States from his AAA credit rating, the guy at Standard & Poor's that, you know, took us down to a AA, their biggest complaint about him is he has a liberal arts education. He graduated from Columbia, I think, with a master's degree in literature. And to me, this was just an extension of what you call when Obama was elected president afterwards, like, we're sick of his Ivy League eloquence.
We don't want anybody who's smart
and this is,
or articulate.
At a time, education was supposed to be considered an asset, not a liability.
No, it started years ago. Yeah, the demonization of intelligence in our culture, you can look at it, happened back in the 80s.
It's absolutely. It is.
We're so much happier with a dum-dum in the
right,
White
exactly.
House.
Right, exactly. Right. You know, we want some drunk moron driving the bus.
Someone who almost died choking on a pretzel.
Yeah.
Hey, Reed. I think we're gonna close the show with a song of yours. Yeah. What song are we gonna hear? And what record
is it from? I don't
know.
What do you want to hear?
You know what song I want to hear, but you don't ever play it anymore. The Angels song. But I think you're gonna play something that you actually like.
Is this thing open here? There we go. Something something that, I don't know, what's the anesthetist song, or I'm Not Dead, I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm Not Dead, I'm in Pittsburgh, I wrote with Mr. Black Francis.
Then let's do that when it's time.
His version of it appears on Fast Man, Raider Man, a fine album.
And where can we,
recorded in Nashville.
Where can we buy the Paley Francis record? It will be available on September 13th.
September 13th, yes.
Can we get it at the Paley Center?
I don't know. If I was related to those people, I wouldn't be hanging around with you, lowlife. I'd be out on a yacht somewhere.
Damn.
You know, it's like, no, serious, biz. Well, you're related to us. Look at me. Look at how I'm dressed. What the hell's the problem with you?
You secret trust funder. You live in Williamsburg like I do. Everyone has a trust fund.
When I moved to Williamsburg, there were wild dogs on the waterfront. You know that. It's like I woke up one morning and I was living in the storeroom at Hot Topic or something.
I love the kids' fashions.
I love the kids.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, Reed Paley, why don't you play us out once again for the Mike and Judy Show. It's Mike Edison, Judy McGuire, our guest Reed Paley. Sing a song, Daddy.
Thank you both. All right, I'll do I'm Not Dead in Pittsburgh. I don't want you to worry. I'm okay. Didn't want you seeing me this way. We tried to talk about it, but we never understand. We never really talk much anyway. I might have found a place to call my. Where all good sinners can get stoned. You keep your holy vision. Yeah, I'll keep my stupid pride. You said I couldn't make it on my own. Well, I'm not dead. I'm in Pittsburgh. And now I can't get out of town. I'm not dead. I'm in Pittsburgh. They got me all strung up. Come cut me down. Like the weeds and all the cracks, all my memories come back. Like some Allegheny smack in the face. It's all just one big monkey house to me. Just living ain't the same as being. Don't stop and think about it. It'll only make you sad. Come put me out my misery. Well, I'm not dead. I'm in Pittsburgh. Where a man can lose his mind. I'm not dead, I'm in Pittsburgh. They got me suited up for a crazy time. Crazy. I'm not dead. I'm in Pittsburgh. And now I can't get out of town. I'm not dead. I'm in Pittsburgh. They got me all strung up. Come cut me down. Yeah, cut me down. Yeah, they got me all strung up. Come cut me down.
All right, Reed Paley.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. There's a lot of posturing and talking around raw milk these days and how great it is. But if you really want to get a full-on investigation into the pros and cons, the risks and benefits of raw milk consumption, here's a nifty website, www.realrawmilkfacts.com. It has a laundry list of FAQs, along with information from studies and reports from American and European science communities. If you flirt with raw milk consumption, this is definitely worth taking a look at. This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.